All right, welcome everybody. Day two, TechEd, and today we will talk about Windows to Go deployment scenarios, BYOD, and how it all gets together and what is related for us as IT professionals. My name is Milad Aslaner. I'm a premier field engineer at Microsoft based out of Dubai, and my primary focus areas, it used to be Windows reliability, so everything around security, cybercrime, performance. Now I'm heading more and more into devices, so I'm the Middle East and Africa devices lead, looking after Surface, Windows Phone, and tablet business. With me, I got Andrew. Andrew, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. Thanks, Milad. Good afternoon, TechEd. My name is Andrew Bettany. I'm from the UK, from a little city called York, which is a very pretty medieval city on the left. I'm a proud dad of Tommy, and I'm an MVP on the Windows Expert.
All right, thanks. If you look into the agenda for this session, we will look into quickly around what is BYOD in general, what is the direction we are aiming across the industry, then moving over to Windows to Go, what is Windows to Go, how does it work, and how do you can really test and deploy Windows to Go in your environment. Lastly, we will share some of the real customer feedbacks we got through our engagements with Microsoft customers from my side and Andrew's engagement as an MVP and as a consultant. And with that, I would like to give you a quick overview on where we are today with BYOD. I think you all will remember in the past, we had a, let's say, a defined environment. We knew exactly where the server is located. We knew exactly from when to when an employee is working. We knew exactly, okay, when do we release the new operating system and all that. It was a defined environment, and that's where we were more comfortable, right? We knew what will happen tomorrow, so it made our job easier. But now, when we look into the expectations of our end users coming from the consumer side into the enterprise, it's all about being connected. It's all about anywhere, anytime expectations. Did you know, for example, that approximately 29% of the global workforce is expecting now anywhere, anytime? Right? They want to be able to use their corporate machine at Starbucks, at the closest barista, or at home. They want to be able to have access to their corporate data. So BYOD is going mainstream. We see more and more customers from Microsoft perspective, for example, when we get engaged, they say, hey, Microsoft, how do we do BYOD? Like, what is this all about? Like, you keep talking at Build Conference, TechEd, about workplace drawing, workflow, Windows to Go. How does it come all together? At the same time, the number one challenge we see with BYOD is around enterprise-grade mobility. So what does it mean? It's about manageability and security. How do you manage in a secure way those devices you're bringing into the network while you don't even know sometimes what device will come in? Is it a Mac? Is it a Linux box? Is it an Android phone? Is it a Windows phone? Is it a Surface? In some certain scenarios for BYOD, you don't know. And you still need to be ready, because what you don't want is that next day, your company name will end up and say, oh, this company leaked 3,000 credit card information by accident, right? And at the same time, you need to find a balance between security, performance, and user acceptance. Right? Because it makes no sense to have the most secure computer, most secure environment, if the users will keep calling support saying, I don't like this computer, it takes like 10 minutes to boot, and I cannot access my pictures, I cannot open Word documents, it takes for ages. Hey, when I'm at home, VPN is not working, just fix it for me, right? And as soon as the CTO calls in, that's the moment where we usually, and in our comfort zone, we're saying, oh, we have to do something now because the CTO is calling me. So mobility has changed the way how we are working today. And I can see that really not only with, when I'm talking with my customers. I saw it within Microsoft. I was presenting, I think it was 3 or 4 weeks ago, in Microsoft Dubai, an internal conference called Rebuild. So everything we teach at showed at Build Conference, we did it again for our internal employees, just to drive some awareness. So what I said to them is pretty simple. I said, today, if you, let's call it, I don't know, Peter. If Peter is coming to the office, I'm really sure in 10 or 15 minutes, he will go to Costa or Starbucks next door with his Surface and wants to check his email there because he so enjoys his iced latte, right? So what do we need to do is, as IT professionals, as Microsoft IT, we need to be able to provide them this flexibility. Because what happens if he's unable to access his data? He gets frustrated. He talks with his peers. He talks with his manager. Say, hey, I really want to do this specific scenario. Enable me, because that's how the future goes. 80% of the workers today across the world, and those stats, by the way, are from Forrester, Zetina. Like, it's not like Microsoft has just made up numbers. Okay, those are real numbers from trusted resources. So 80% of today's workers are expecting to be able to work outside of their office. They just expect it. 29% of workers have more than 3 devices. So how do you manage them? How do you secure them? And Windows to Go has a great story for specifically that mobility scenario. By, I think, 2015, 2016, we will have more devices connected to the internet than the global population. I mean, that's huge. And that's why it is important to know how you can manage, secure those environments, at the same time provide the user the experience they want, so that they are enjoying coming to work, they are enjoying to talking with IT, right? I used to be in IT support for a commercial company, and I was feeling like I'm like a stranger in the company. It was like always, oh, that's the IT guy, just fix my computer. Right? But now I see, particularly when I look into Microsoft IT, it's like, oh, hey, yeah, thank you. We have work folders now, so I can synchronize my data. Oh, thanks, I have Windows to Go, and I can go wherever I want. I don't have to carry like my laptop with me. So they're enabling those scenarios. We see more and more that the perimeter is disappearing, and that's how the future is looking like if you look into all these megatrends, like social, mobile, big data. We are seeing more and more adoption there. So with that, Andrew, what is Windows to Go?
Well, let's just ask the audience quickly first. Windows to Go has been around since Windows 8. It's predominantly a Windows 8 technology. How many people in the audience are actually deployed Windows to Go? Let me show hands. Okay, so I'd say about 10% of you have actually deployed it. And that's amazing, because we asked this question last year and nobody had deployed it. So what we're seeing is more and more IT professionals are starting to understand the technology better and seeing the use case of how it can be used, not necessarily for you, but for your customers, your members of staff, your workforce, because it's all about making their experience better than it is now. So just like Milad says, you know, Windows to Go offers, and I'm not being glib when I say this, it's a new paradigm of computing. You, in effect, can use a Windows to Go stick. This is a mobile version of Windows 8. It's a full version of Windows 8 on a stick that you can take anywhere. It's your portable workspace. This is probably going to get quite a few hands up. Who brought a laptop or a tablet to TechEd this week? Okay, so like 95%. How many of you brought a Windows to Go stick to TechEd? Right, about 1%. There's about 30 hands in the audience. Brilliant. I brought a Windows to Go stick. No, it's attached to me. Okay? That's my only concern about these things. It's easy to leave them in a drive. Okay? So I bought an attachment so I can carry it. I didn't bring a laptop. I promise you that. I've been using host machines throughout the whole week. In fact, through the whole month. And have I been suboptimal in my performance? Have I still been posting things to Facebook and answering emails? Yes, through this device.
I can confirm that. Actually, like, the only demo device he brought was a Surface. And then I looked it up. It was an MS Asset on it. So he actually borrowed it from us. Mm-hmm. So he really just had a Windows to Go thumb drive with him.
You know, I'm not saying, you know, tablets are so much lighter. I got through security so quick, you know. And yet, previous techers, when I've come to TechEd, I've brought 2, maybe 3 laptops. Those days are slowly changing. You know, I predict next year, more of you will have one of these. We forgot to mention at the beginning, we have a number of these drives to give to people who are interested in deploying this. You know, so at the end of the session, if you've got a really good question and you're engaged and enthusiastic like we are about these things, come down, let's have a chat. We've not got one for everybody.
Just 100.
No. Okay. So that's what Windows to Go is. Let's now drill down a little bit more. So traditionally, people will use an internal hard drive built into their computer, and they'll boot to that to access corporate resources. What we're doing with a Windows to Go drive is you plug that drive into any host machine. And when I say any host machine, you see at the bottom, it means any machine that's certified to run Windows 7 or 8 or above. Your mileage may vary if you try to plug it into a machine that's running a different operating system. All right? I've seen it. It's not supported. I've seen it running. Windows to Go will work on an Apple device. Tell us the implications of doing that.
Okay, so I thought you won't ask me that question. No problem. Okay, so basically, it might work from Microsoft supportability point of view. The only reason why we cannot say it is supported is pretty simple. If you look at an iMac or a MacBook, and by the way, I used to work for Apple. Okay, I was a senior engineer for iOS before I moved over to Microsoft. So the story behind the Macs is, if you look into it, you will never find a Windows logo. And that's the reason, because they never submitted their devices through the Windows certification program. And since one of the requirements for Windows to Go is to have a Windows certified device, we could not say, hey, Windows to Go is running on Macs. You might want to test it out. I know that you can use Bootcamp in order to load Windows, but it's your choice to do it or not.
OK, thanks for that, Milan. So, you know, you take the stick, you plug it into any host machine. You then access, because this is your corporate image, this is the IT managed image that you guys have provisioned, okay, and given it to your users, they can access your network using this stick. Right? And they get the same experience. And that is the paradigm shift. They're getting exactly the same managed, secure experience that you've given them, but this time on a USB stick. And notice at the bottom, we can even BitLocker it, so it's super secure. Or you can use a third-party product. Okay. So what do they get? They get a consistent experience. They can work online or offline. It's easy, and it's what you're used to deploying. You know, we're going to show you the enterprise deployment today. We're going to show you how to deploy it so that you can experience this on a one-by-one basis using the drive. But we can also PowerShell, we can script it, so we can deploy it in hundreds. So let's just think about the different scenarios, because really, for me, I didn't really get Windows to Go when I first heard about it, when Windows 8 was in beta. I didn't get the concept. And it's not until you see this type of slide where you see many scenarios, and then you get it. You realize that actually, for these people, and look, all these people are not you. Windows to Go is about your users, about your workforce. It's about the sales guys, the guys who make all the money, the guys who clinch the deals. It's, if you're an educational establishment, it's about the tutors and the students. It's about them. But because it's the same Windows 8 that you manage on the hardware, on the stick, you can provision it, you can manage it, and it's safe and secure. And that's when you start thinking, actually, for $50, this is not a bad idea, you know? So, you know, do you want to explain a few of these scenarios?
Yes, sure, I can do that one. And like one of the recent case studies I've been working on is in the education part, actually, Andrew. So in the Middle East, there are a couple of projects to provide mobile-based education. So what does it mean? Basically, students will receive tablets like Surface or Windows to Go thumb drives. Same time, the teacher is getting a similar setup, and we will provide modern apps for each individual class. And right now, we are evaluating, I think, it's like 50,000 of those devices for just one country. It's pretty successful so far. We have, I think, about to deploy it. So it's just another way how you can see how mobility is changing the way how you, even education was doing business, right? How education was delivered. So we have many different scenarios from contractors. Like, for example, when I used to work for Microsoft Germany, I was a dedicated support engineer for one of our public sector accounts. And they realized that despite of having, I think, 12 PFEs on site every day, they also had a bunch of other contractors. And everyone was getting a laptop. So imagine the cost of those laptops, Right? It's quite huge. Mm. So what they did is they replaced the laptops with Windows to Go thumb drives, and everybody had the Windows to Go thumb drive from that company, which we could use on our own corporate machines. So that's another scenario there. BYOD, I mean, we know it's going to be mainstream. Travel Lite, just to have the ability, like Andrew, to travel just with that USB thumb drive, right, is amazing. One of the things I really quickly just want to mention is around the licensing, right? Because I know licensing can be very confusing. Rumors say that the certification program for Microsoft licensing is harder than the IT professional ones. But let me try to make it as simple as possible. The Travel Lite scenario. So you are working in one corporate office. If you're going to the branch office, this is covered through software assurance. If you're going to the coffee house or the barista next door, Starbucks, or wherever, right? This is all covered through SA roaming rights. Same counts when you're at home. So Travel Lite is covered through software assurance if in the corporate office and the branch office. If you're at Starbucks or wherever or at home, this is covered through SA roaming rights. If you look into BYOD, that's a little bit different. So bring your own device for employees and contingent stuff. So they are usually having the work location, right? So your office. And then you need to choose which is the primary device. The primary device can be licensed through VDA rights or software assurance. The secondary device of that employee or contingent stuff will be covered to CSL. The last scenario I want to mention, because of the licensing questions pretty often coming up during the discussion with decision makers, is shared PCs, which is also one of the most common scenarios right now. So the typical call center scenario, for example. So you have multiple users, single or multiple locations, and you have all those shared PCs. This is all covered through software assurance for Windows. I tried to make it as quickly as possible because I know you guys are, most of them are IT pro. If you have questions specifically on licensing, we can also cover them afterwards. I try my best, I'm myself IT pro, but I'm sure Craig from the Windows team is also here who can answer questions on that part.
And we've got the mobility booth downstairs and the expo.
Yeah, exactly.
Come down, ask the questions. Yeah. To wrap up the licensing,
yes.
Would it be fair to say that, are you all enterprise customers? Most of you have got software assurance, then most of you
can use it.
Can use it, you know. And so, if you're a school or a large organization, you've probably got software assurance. This tool is worth exploring.
Exactly. And one of the elements I think, Andrew, you could tell us more is around the drivers and how they get certified and what are the measurements around that.
So, you know, Microsoft will support any drive that's been certified by their performance labs. And you know, we've got a list of them, and there's, in the expo downstairs, we've actually got the physical drives themselves on show. You know, and the reason why these have been tested rigorously is because they're very high performance. You look inside one of these, it looks, well, it is a USB 3 drive, and it almost performs like a mini SSD drive. Very fast, very good I/O ratios, very good read-write, very good random speeds. You know, this is doing everything that Windows 8 will do, but on a stick. All right? So that's why we recommend using certified drives. It will work in a USB 2 or USB 3 host computer. Obviously, USB 3 is preferred, but you will find it performs good in a USB 2. It's been optimized for throughput. And that's why we use these drives. There's some slight changes in, so Windows 8.1 now offers support for your encrypted hard drives to boot from those. You know, so if you've got a more modern PC, 8.1 will allow a Windows to Go drive to boot to a drive that's got encryption built into the drive. You know, I think we were talking in one of the sessions yesterday about these modern drives that are encrypted out of the box.
Just to add on that quickly, sure. if you compare the performance of those Windows to Go certified drives compared to other USB thumb drives. The Windows to Go certified drives, when you're loading Windows, you can watch nearly, most of the times, a full HD video through it.
And we'll see when we actually build one of these drives in a demo just in a second. We'll actually see the actual tool will scan the drive to see if it is Not certified, but we'll see if it's performant, if it's actually going to be fast enough for you. So let's have a quick look at the currently available number of drives that are available for you to purchase right now. And you'll see that there's a number of vendors in this space that are rising to the challenge of this new opportunity, this new technology where things are moving. And there's a number of them in the expo. Today, I think there's Imation with their Iron Keys, and there is Spirus with their WorkSafe. So please do go and have a look at them, talk to them, see, you know, actually have a demo, actually take a feel for these things. You know, they're actually really nice devices. So you can see there's a number of factors here: size, shape, color, style. You know, so some have got lights on when they're actually working. They've got different sizes. And I was talking to the Imation guys yesterday, and they're saying they're getting demand already for larger drives. You know, so initially the first ones that came out were 32 gig, and that gives you possibly, you know, about 10 to 12 gigs of space once you've actually deployed the OS onto this. All right, which if you think of the first generation Surfaces, they had 32 gig of hard drive. So it's a very similar comparison. Now we're getting 64 gig, 128 gig. You know, and Immersion were talking yesterday, they were getting demands for 512 and even terabyte drives. Because this is great if you're using it as your day-to-day machine. You know, this is your Windows 8 that you use on a daily basis. But if you're if you're into graphics or movies, or you know, you want to carry your work resources around with you on the stick, rather than using the cloud, you know, the OneDrive for Business and such like, which is the typical way of doing this. It's very, you know, low resource hungry. You don't need much data on the stick. But if you are in that field, that's where you'll need a bigger drive. You'll actually start saving some data on the drive.
Exactly. And one of the other things, if you look at those drives, I mean, depending on the scenario you are aiming, you will find the drive which best suits you. Mm. For example, there are a couple of them which have also built-in encryption enabled. Like I know the Spirus one, the Spirus Secure Portable, and I believe the Imation Iron Key W500 have device encryption built in as well. And I think Spirus just released also one with a chip on it you can use to store certificates even on it.
I think the Iron Key did the similar with the 700.
Yeah.
So you know, price range, you know, anything from $50 all the way up to, you know, $250, $500 for the different levels of space and capacity and features. But, you know, I would look down the expo. That's what they're here at TechEd for, is to show you their products. You know, so Microsoft released the software and the features and the API and the support. It's the vendors who then meet that challenge.
Yeah, okay. Correct.
All right. So how does it work? And what is in it for you? You know, why are you going to be interested in this? And Milad's already mentioned this to some extent. You know, what we're looking at is it's very secure. Why? Because it's Windows 8. It's the most secure operating system Microsoft ever released.
Correct.
Okay, so every feature you get in Windows 8 is in Windows 8 on a stick in the workspace. So you're not compromising security. It's easy to use. You know, and I would sort of caveat that and say, look, when you give 50 contractors, one of these, don't just give them it and think, because what they'll think is this is a USB stick, won't they? Oh, what am I going to do with that? Yeah, make sure you spend 5 minutes, maybe put a wrapper around it, maybe put a handout with this is your mobile workspace. Plug it into a drive, boot to the USB drive, and then log in at that point. You know, it needs maybe 5 minutes of education, and that's all they'll need. Then it's normal business as normal. But don't miss that 5 minute. It's a little bit like when you show anybody a Windows 8 machine. You know, unless they're, you know, a young person who's been using it all the time, you know, first release, they need a little bit of education on how to use this. The last thing is it's very manageable. All the tools that you use now to manage your Windows 8 estate is used for this. See these things as mini PCs, as computers that need to be managed. They need to be asset tagged. They need to be signed out. They need to be allocated to people. Yeah, these are in your Active Directory, guys. These are actually assets of your business. It's like Milad said, if you've got 50 or 100 new people starting and you need to provision them a PC, you know, that could take months to provision. These things, they should be in your locked store, already provisioned. You know, we've deployed these with, you know, you've got a case with 50 of these in. It's very easy. They occupy a very small amount of space. Very easy, very quick to provision, to allocate. And that's the beauty of these things. All you now need is a host for them to attach to. And that could be their PC, it could be a work PC, it could be their home PC. Okay. So we talked about protecting your data, and this is all about BitLocker. Now, BitLocker, you know, you've all used BitLocker, dry encryption, or a third-party product. Whatever you do, always try to encrypt these devices. Why? Because otherwise somebody will plug it into another host and they'll see it as a USB drive. All right? So always, you know, of all the machines. Like Windows 8.1 comes out of the box now with pervasive encryption.
Correct.
You know, so every Windows 8.1 device that ships is encrypted. So don't, because you're putting the OS on this device, that's your responsibility. So we said already, treat it just like it's one of your Windows 8 machines. You know, you can manage it with MDOP, with MBAM. You can save the BitLocker keys to MBAM. Notice we don't support the TPM, the Trusted Module Platform Module. Why do you think that is?
I know.
Yeah.
Because you keep changing the machines.
Exactly. So, you know, the TPM is there to protect the hard drive from being separated. Whereas what we're doing with this is we're separating that relationship every time. Okay? In most cases, the contractor or the user will have their preferred host. But, you know, you mentioned in schools, and, you know, we've got a case study of that later on, you know, students will go from classroom to classroom. They might have 20 classrooms in there, you know, and each time this is seen as a new device. All right, so TPM just wouldn't work in that situation.
Correct.
But we've got different ways to enable BitLocker, and you know, we've got passwords now. You can use passwords to access an encrypted device. So that's the solution in that respect. Trusted boot. So we talked about in one of Chris Hallam's sessions yesterday. Talked about trusted boot. So the whole, you know, to protect the boot sequence from malware. Everything you've got on Windows 8 is on this stick as well, because it is just Windows 8. It's your corporate image. You're protecting it with your standard tools. Don't think this is something different.
Okay? So you don't need a new infrastructure in order to bring Windows to Go in the environment. The only difference is, let's say, the form factor, how you bring Windows to Go into the company.
Yeah. So everything you've deployed, whether or not it's VPNs or direct access, you know, your group policy, this stick will suffer the same consequence of your hard work, you know, that you're pushing down to your users. So don't see this as something different. This is just an extension to the ability. You know, if you've got a user who says, look, I've got this really nice laptop, you know, I'm really familiar with it, it's got touch, and you say to him, well, I want you to use the corporate box, which is maybe a year or two old, and, you know, you're going to upset the guy. If he's used to touch, he's used to Windows 8, think about one of these. Because that then enables him to be more productive, a happier member of staff. He's still, you know, the last thing he might want is you, being corporate IT, installing software on his personal BYOD. This allows you to still give him a BYOD experience without the heavy-handed or without the corporate muscle coming in and saying, well, look, we need to install agents, we need to install our protection. Well, no. You do all that on this drive. Can you see why it's a paradigm shift? Okay. So, let's move on. So, another reason why it's secure is built into this drive is protection so that there's no data leakage. When you boot to one of these and you log on to your corporate credentials, the user and the standard user does not see the host machine at all. Doesn't see the hard drive of the host machine. All right, so there's no data leakage.
Yeah, correct. So you can basically not copy-paste your corporate information to your system hard drive, because the system hard drive is set on offline through SAN policies.
Yeah, so you know, whatever policies you set in place are on this stick as well, will be applied. Okay. If that user puts another USB drive into that machine, he'll see that. You know, you don't want to encourage him to save data to this. You know, you want to be encouraging the cloud and OneDrive for Business. You know, if they use another USB drive, that's visible. You know, I think certainly when I've been talking to people, they've been confused thinking, oh no, this locks everything down. No, it doesn't. This acts as almost like a parasite on the host. It takes, it consumes the internet, the speed, the RAM, you know, all the resources of the machine,
the
all the hardware, but doesn't touch the hard drive. As an administrator, you can change that. You can enable access to the hard drive. But again, you wouldn't recommend that for standard users, because ultimately they walk away with the with this drive and leave the host behind. Okay, so what else? So let's just boot from USB. You know, so that's going to give you a few challenges initially, at least for the users, not for you guys, because I appreciate most of you will know how to boot from a USB. But you need to make sure you educate your users. We said already, give them a crib sheet, give them a handout, show them how to do it that first time. Once they've done it, they'll be amazed that Windows 8 is running on this stick. And you want to capture and harness that amazement, that excitement that they need to look after this. Okay? This is their computer now. They will appreciate, you know, how many of you have got staff who are always saying, my laptop is too heavy. You know, I want one of those really nice light ones. You don't get much lighter than one of these guys. You don't get much lighter. You know, and all of a sudden, they go, wow, I want one of those that Bob's got. Show me how to use it again. You know, so you might have to teach them how to boot to a USB drive. You might have to teach them how to configure BIOS on the machine. But like we said already, most people will use between one and five different hosts whilst they've got one of these. So as long as they know how to do that on their home machine, their classroom or their workplace machines when they're hot desking, that pain goes away pretty quick.
But, right. And again, this is only if the host machine is not running Windows 8 already.
Of course.
If it's running Windows 8, Windows knows, hey, there's a Windows to go thumb drive and will boot through it. One of the other things also is Windows to go can, in theory, also work even on machines which are still like shipped with Windows XP system requirements. Mm. Like, think about it. Like, the old machine you have at home, which you stop using because you bought a new one with Windows 8 or Windows 7 whatsoever, that one you can still use with Windows to go, and you will be able to run Windows 8 through Windows to go.
Okay. Yeah. You know, and we've got, if you type in Windows to go into the start, into your start screen, you know, you're going to get the Windows to go startup option. So on a Windows 8 machine, you can configure that machine to look for this drive every time. All right. Okay. So we've touched on this already. We're saying that by default, out of the box, a Windows 8.1 user will get the exact same experience using one of these sticks as they will using a normal host machine. Notice we've got a couple of caveats there. With Windows 8, we disabled the Windows Store by default, and then we've enabled that by default in Windows 8.1, and that was due to the roaming of store applications. So that's become a lot more freer, a lot more available in 8.1. So just be aware of that. That might cause you some initial issues, but that might also encourage you to upgrade to 8.1. Okay, for your apps. Okay.
Correct. But again, like site loading works on Windows to go, just like on Windows. And one of the reasons, like beside of the roaming, was actually licensing. Mm. If you look into Windows Store, there was a licensing, you know, we accept the licensing agreement. We all read every licensing agreement we see on our screen, of course, and then we click on accept. And one of them was saying you cannot roam the applications and you cannot use it on different hosts. So we had to change our licensing agreement so that we can enable the Windows Store for Windows to go. But that's done when we ship Windows 8.1.
Great, okay. You know, do that survey with your customers. Give them one of these to trial, to pilot, you know, to see how they get on with it, and call them back in after a couple of weeks and say, look, do you want to keep this? You know, is this good for you? Is it a good experience? And use that learning. This is what we did. Use that learning to feed into the next batch that you induct into this process.
Exactly. And, hey, like we said before, if you have a smart question or Windows to go afterwards, you can even have the test derived from us.
Yeah, very good. So, redefining mobility. You know, we started off with this conversation with some various use cases of, you know, is it travel light? Is it for the contingent or your temporary workers? You know, this is, where is this going to go? You know, this is still early days. This is the first device. You know, this is a year old now. Where are we going to be in the next version, the next one? How is this going to go? You know, mobile is the way, is the future. Imagine, you know, I'm not trying to put ideas into Microsoft's head, but imagine, you know, you've all got a hotel room, most of you got a hotel room, and there's a TV in front of you, and these TVs are now smart TVs. The majority of them are smart TVs. Imagine, and most of them have got USB ports now. You can play your own media, can't you? Imagine if you could walk up to one of those TVs and plug one of the Windows to go devices in there, and you've then got full feature Windows
That's
8.
That's a good idea. I will pass it through.
Pass it through, yeah. you heard it here first, guys.
We will thank you if we decide
to. Yeah. So, you know, this is the start of where things are going. So, you know, we're encouraging you to start looking at this in a meaningful way. Think about your users. It's not about you. Yes, as an IT guy, you could use this as simple as a boot device to get into to troubleshoot a machine. Yes, you could. But that's only tapping into maybe 10% of the power of this. Yep. This is really for your mobile workforce to enable them to be able to work smarter anywhere they go.
Exactly. I mean, what we try to emphasize here is when we look into Windows to Go, I mean, don't see it like a USB thumb drive with 32 gig or 128 gig. See it like something the sales guy, the marketing guy, the lady who works from finance will use in order to make her life easier.
Okay. So, you know, this enables you to use it across different machines. It unlocks that restriction you used to have of only having one PC. This can be, you know, you've got a PC at home, a PC at work. They both experience the same by using this. All right, so no longer do you have to remember to email a file home or, you know, you don't even need the internet to use this. It works online or offline. Okay, every host that you boot to, this device remembers. You know, so you'll have a slight configuration time, maybe up to a minute, just like when you would normally deploy a new machine, you have that initial setting up phase. It takes maybe a minute to 2 minutes. You'll have that on every new machine. Okay? But it's remembered. It won't do that again. It'll boot faster the next time. You know, so you're going to have, it stores that configuration of every host that you go to.
Exactly. And one of the coolest things, one of the things that could happen is, imagine you're working with Windows to Go, and, well, you remove that thumb drive by accident. Well, what I thought will happen when I first heard about Windows to Go is just another blue screen. So luckily, engineering thought about that scenario. So what is really happening is that the moment the USB thumb drive, the Windows to Go thumb drive, is taken out of the USB port, it will freeze the operating system, and you have 60 seconds time to return that USB thumb drive, the Windows to Go drive, into that computer. Most important, it must be the same USB port. Right? So actually, Craig, one of the senior product marketing manager in Windows, and his kids have a little game. So every once in a while, he's working at home with his Windows to Go thumb drive, and what is happening is one kid disturbs him, the other kid plugs it out and runs super fast. And Craig's role is then to catch him within 60 seconds and to plug it back so that he can continue work. He's not so lucky most of the times, by the way. Hope Craig is not here. So if he is Craig, I'm so sorry. I'm not.
So what happens if he doesn't catch the child quick enough?
Well, then what happens is that the system will shut down, basically. And then the next time you will continue with your work, and most likely, let's say you have documents open, they will be in your temp folders. So the data loss should be prevented. Of course, we cannot guarantee that the data loss will not happen because it's an unspecified condition what is happening. But most of the times, you will keep the data which you have been working on in Outlook, in PowerPoint, and so on. Because we have, again, the capabilities in Office, for example, to know, oh, okay, there was a unexpected shutdown, and he's having the data still in the temp folders.
Sure. Okay. Cool.
So what's the difference then?
So there's a few things that's missing from the you know, we've told you already, this is the same. Okay, now comes to the small print. Because it's not the same, you know, we're not going to include in here a recovery partition because that would just be using a lot of space. So that's not there. You can't refresh or reset your PC from one of these. So bear that in mind. You know, you might have taught your users, hey, you know, if there's a problem, we can just reset. What you could do is, you know, I've seen this scenario where, you know, we get a call from the help desk and the hard drive's been fried. The hard drive's no longer working. You know, by issuing one of these, you make a dead terminal or a dead host machine come back to life.
Yep.
All right? So, you know, it's quite easy to deploy one of these next day or same day if you're on site and to get that machine working again. But, you know, you'd be aware recovery and refresh and set is not included in this device. Okay. So what else have we got? Hibernation. So hibernation by default is turned off. That's because we want you to shut these devices down, like we saw on the chart before. If you shut it down, it's clean, it's safe. If that user is working in a call center or he's got his dedicated machine, then yes, you can enable Hibernate. But imagine what's going to happen if you put this into this stick into a different machine then. Okay, the hibernation has been stored on this drive, and it's not going to match the drive. So that's why by default it's turned off. Yes, you can experiment and enable that if you want.
Okay? All right.
Other things, just be careful of installing this. Using this on a running PC, all right? You must shut machines down. And one of the things that we've done is to actually disable the sleep or the hybrid sleep in group policy for the machines that we're using these on, just so that the user doesn't automatically just close down the lid and it goes into sleep. Because when you come to plug this in, it needs to have a clean machine. It needs to have a shutdown state. Just bear that in mind. That's something to be aware of. Okay. What else can we say? Is it supported on any machine that's certified for Windows 7 or 8? You know, if you use a different machine that's maybe running, you mentioned already, you're upgrading a Windows XP machine, look at the performance of that machine. You know, it's worth trying. And you might be able to reprovision some of the older machines in your estate just by using, you know, a relatively inexpensive device. You've got the licensing already as part of your software assurance agreement.
Exactly. So, Andrew, now we know around Windows to go what it is, BYOD, mm-hmm. We know the mega trends. But how do you test it, and most importantly, how do you deploy Windows to Go?
Well, we mentioned already there's a couple of ways to do this. You know, you all can do this if you've got you can take an evaluation copy of Windows 8 or 8.1, you know, and just type in Windows to Go. That will bring up, built into the operating system, a Windows to Go creator tool, where it will then, in fact, this is the screenshots. And we'll actually do this in a second, but I want to talk you through the process. So it will look on your machine for suitable drives. Now, if you've got multiple drives in there, it will actually tell you whether or not a drive is suitable or not suitable, okay? If it's fast enough or not fast enough. And you can only select one that's fast enough, okay? You'll then pick an image. Now, that can be Windows 8 or Windows 8.1. That can be the image from a Windows 8 ISO or a DVD, or it can be your corporate image with all your software, okay? With all your security, with all your communication, your connectivity settings preloaded. That could be your reference image that you deploy normally. You can deploy to one of these sticks. It's a whim, yeah? Then finally, you know, we get the option to be able to BitLock and encrypt the whole drive. And we'll do that as part of the deployment. Okay, and I certainly recommend you use some, you know, BitLocker or a third-party drive. So, shall we?
How about you just show us what you're talking about?
Come on, move out of the way then. Let's do it. Okay. So I'm going to take the exact same drive.
Can give you a couple off.
We've got a few more. Yes, we have. And I'm going to type in. Can anyone remember? Okay. So.
They are listening.
They are listening. Windows to Go.
Let's see if you can type on an Arabic keyboard.
I don't know. Windows to Go. Here we go. Can you see it's there? I'm going to type Windows to Go. This has got...
It's an Arabic keyboard. What should I do? I live in Dubai.
Thanks. You really make it easy for me. Okay. So I'm now going to put my drive in. That could have been in to start with. And what machine is this? This is one of the new Ultrabooks.
ThinkPad Ultra. Yes. It's
an okay, and it's found the Kingston workplace. This is a 32 gig drive. I'm now going to select this drive and click Next. Now, it's looking for an image, and it cannot find one. There's no DVD on this drive. It doesn't know where to find one, so I'm going to point it in the direction. So I'm going to go to my temp drive, and I'm going to select that folder because that's where I believe it is. And now it's found a Windows 8.1 Enterprise WIM, a Windows imaging file. Now, like I said, that could be your corporate image. For this demonstration, what we've done is use the one from a Windows 8.1 evaluation disk. Okay, this is the thing we were talking about, BitLocker encryption. So use encryption and give it a password. So let me just type in the password.
It doesn't look like a secure one, though.
Oh, you can't see what I typed. Oh. Okay.
Okay.
Do you want to see? Okay. Yeah. See. Okay. And then as simple as create. What it's going to do now is format and delete all the data off that drive and then start copying over the WIM and encrypting it. Now, one of the things we need to point out is treat these sticks as quite valuable. You know, they're not USB sticks. They're not $10 worth of USB stick that you want to lose. These are assets they're going to have access to your corporate network on. Okay, so treat them, you know, when you allocate them, you know, make sure there's an asset ID attached to them. What I tend to use is, you know, they've all got a nice way of attaching them to your belt or to, you know, put an asset tag on there, or you can engrave them with an ID. Simple things like that make a big difference because they all look the same otherwise. BitLocker could not be enabled, probably because of that password. Let's just run that again.
Maybe you should do a complex password.
Maybe you should use a context. Okay, so Windows to go. Right at the bottom.
And by the way, within Microsoft, what we did for asset management, so when I was in Microsoft Germany, we all got Windows to go thumb drives. So I think in Germany we have 2,000 employees out of services organization only. So what we did was we engraved the assets as is. So in order that IT knows exactly who has which device, so that they could do proper asset management as well.
Yeah.
Because like Andrew said, it is important to not treat it just like a USB thumb drive. If you treat it like this, you will lose it, most likely. So yeah, it's a case. Okay. And I really like the idea of what you're doing, by the way.
Yeah, carry it around to you. You know, you're gonna have a smart card, use this. You know, use a bit of string, and you can buy these in the store. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, so you can see how easy that is. It's very easy to provision a self-provision. This is your image that you're using to demonstrate, to evaluate it for yourself. Milad, how do you use it for a larger enterprise opportunity?
Exactly. So, I mean, that's nice what you showed, but it will only work for, let's say, 1, 2 test units, right? So mm-hmm. Let's show and let's talk about enterprise deployment scenarios. The first one I would like to talk about is central deployment by the IT. So that is what we most likely see today, right? So IT is managing all those devices, operating system. So what you can do is you can use a USB duplicator, right? And a certain PowerShell script where we have a sample on TechNet in order to do the mass provisioning basically of like 1,000, 2,000 thumb drive, Windows to go drive at once. How does it look like? Let me show you. Let me move over to my machine. All right. So what I prepared is basically I went to TechNet, and let me just show you, like, just so that it's really clear that I didn't prep this whole demo. TechNet, Windows to go PowerShell script. Deploy Windows to go in your organization. And then if you scroll down, here you will find the sample scripts. Okay, so all I did is bing, Windows to go, TechNet, Windows to go, thumb drive, PowerShell script, and boom, I have the sample script. So let me show you that script in a little bit detail so that you know what is really happening. Over here. So the purpose is to provision multiple drives, and it will configure even offline domain join for me if I want to. The sample commandlet is dash install wimpath. Again, just like basically Andrew did with the user interface, I define where the wim file is located. And then I could even go ahead and define the domain environment. What is important when you do it with the domain is we are assigning random machine number and random machine names, because obviously we cannot have the same machine name and like for 100 computers, because Active Directory will treat Windows to go just like any other computer.
It's so easy to do this sort of thing within PowerShell.
Go ahead.
It's so easy to do this in PowerShell.
Yes, yes.
You can iterate through, change the name.
Exactly. So basically, then I can even define, okay, so do I want BitLocker enabled, yes or no, because it's creating the registry poll for me. And excuse me for the bad painting. I mean, you all saw probably my hand by now. It's pretty challenging for me. So sorry about that. It creates an unattend file, which he later then used during that time, and the registry policy file for all those policies which come with it, which is a requirement in order to get Windows to go work. So let me show you how that then later looks like. Just going to unplug your new thumb drive.
Sure.
It's finished, by the way. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You cannot keep it.
Okay, give it away.
It's for giveaway, exactly.
Yeah, give it away.
All right, so I just connected another one. Let me, come on. Okay, so it's under ctemp for me, ls, Windows to go PowerShell. Let me zoom it here. Okay. So it will ask me for the install vim. I know the install vim is over here, so you can see it here. Install vim is in the same location, so I type in install vim, enter. Are you sure you want to perform this action? Yes, I am. Why not? So now what it does, basically, just like the Windows to Go creator, it will format the drive and start each individual job required, like defined in the PowerShell script, in order to do the provisioning of that thumb drive. And you could really do that like with 1,000 drives, 2,000 drives. It doesn't matter. You just need a USB duplicator and enough USB Windows to Go drives. So usually what we did at TechNet conference 2013 Berlin was we showcased that. So we had, I think, like 250 USB duplicators and all had Windows to Go thumb drives. And we just started it. It took a while, so we didn't finish that demo during 75 minutes, obviously. But I think you get the point. It is simple. We have the sample script required. You don't need much of editing in that script if you don't want to go like outside of the PowerShell script. So that works. If you have any questions later afterwards to customize that PowerShell script, also please let me know. And even after the session, happy to do that. So that's central deployment with PowerShell and USB duplicators. But again, we're talking about mobile, mobility, cloud, and bringing everything to the user, make it easier for the user. So there's another deployment scenario, which is user self-provisioning. You can do user self-provisioning or Windows to Go through System Center Configuration Manager, SP1. So this is really something you would do for BYOD scenarios, for self-provisioning scenarios. So the user has a can choose if he wants to go for Windows to Go. So he has this Windows to Go thumb drive, and he goes through the application catalog and say, oh yeah, I want to have Windows to Go, and do the deployment of that drive. Now, one of the challenges I personally have with SCCM is every time I want to do a SCCM demo, it works during my preparation. It works most of the time during video recordings. But for some reason, this year, it decided to not work at all. Not because of the lack of knowledge required to set up SCCM. It's because of my new device I have. So apparently, it turns out an Ultrabook is not good enough for SCCM. So what I did is I talked with a couple of friends here in the booth. I said, hey, can I borrow your ugly device you had last year? I was like, hey, dude, I also replaced my device with an Ultrabook.
Or a Thundra.
Oh, yeah, exactly, with something like that. And then I said, OK, no problem. I move over to Azure. And then I realized, oh, how do I put a USB thumb drive in Azure? So what I did this time is I have a screenshot capture walkthrough I prepared last minute. I hope you don't mind, but I will make the best to explain you how it looks like and how this set it up. Just like with anything around SCCM and deployment, what you need to do is you have a task sequence. So with the task sequence, you will see it's basically no difference between operating system you'll deploy or Windows to Go. The only difference is that you can define, for example, BitLocker. You define, OK, which settings you want. You can say, OK, restarting Windows PE. It's more or less the same thing, right? Once you configured your task sequence, and you can see there, for example, there's a new task sequence item called Enable BitLocker for Windows to Go. That's the only big difference between the task sequences from operating system and Windows to Go. You verify that this task sequence is the way you want to go. You hit Next. And what you then do is basically you define the properties of the creator. And talking about the creator, anybody remembers what was the executable Andrew showed? Could it be WTG creator?
Mm-hmm.
There's no magic behind it. What all we do with SCCM there is we predefine a command line syntax so that it knows exactly which Vim to connect to and to enable boot. So those are the two syntax we are adding there so that we are able to make it easier for the end user. How does it look like for the end user? He's going, as usual, to his application catalog, sees, OK, there's a new application. Maybe there's a couple of modern apps he wants to install. And, oh, there's Windows to Go Creator. He selects it, hits install. Application gets installed. Well, installed means that the command line gets pushed over. He starts the Windows to Go Creator. He has a thumb drive in there, the Windows to Go thumb drive workspace. He selects it, and that's it. I mean, it's that simple. It's just like Andrew showed with the Windows to Go Creator in first place. No difference. Only thing we do is, if I go here back for a second, here, we predefine the command line, and we have the task sequence ready in SCCM so that we can enable, for example, BitLocker. Otherwise, no difference. Yes, sir. I can't hear you. Could you go to the mic, if you don't mind?
Is the Vim there actually PE that I am booting off of and then running through the task sequence, or is that actually the full image? Because, I mean, in your screenshots, you are formatting drives and...
Mm-hmm. That's a full image.
So that is the full image.
Yes, that's a full corporate image in that case.
So it's not actually running through a task sequence in the sense that it's going to lay down the image and then...
No.
Do Adobe Acrobat and then...
No, that could come afterwards, for example. Then you could define that after the operating system installation through application catalogs that you can select that just like here, Adobe Reader. And that's to okay. Just give you the same example.
Great All question. Right. I think he's in himself a Windows to Go workspace when he's come down when he finished.
Oh, yeah, true. We deserve like a Windows to Go thumb drive.
Yeah.
Perfect. All right. So that's about the SCCM part as well. I mean, you see, there are three flavors, basically, how you can test and deploy Windows to Go. Right? You can do it through the Windows to Go Creator yourself, just if you want to get started with Windows to Go. For mass deployment, you can use a PowerShell script sample, which is available on TechNet. Or you can go with your existing infrastructure with SCCM. I think there's a question.
Yeah, I had a quick question. When you talked about the licensing and you don't need an additional license to put Windows to Go on a drive, but if you wanted to install Office on there, you would have to use an additional license for the Office install, right?
Office would be separated, yeah. Oh, I knew that answer for licensing.
He loves licensing.
Yes, sir. Okay, so the question is, since we have multiple host drives, how do we host machines? How do you handle all those drivers?
Yep. So contained on the Windows 8 image itself are enough drivers to get the machine booted. So it'll set up the machine. So it's all within the Windows 8 image. Okay. You know, so you'll have drivers for the screen, for basic networking. You know, I can take this. I've tried this in about 12 or 15 machines this week alone, and I've not had a single problem. You know, and then once you get onto the network, you've booted to the device, that point you can then join the Wi-Fi or join the wide net, and then you can run an update and get all the clever device drivers, you know, the machine-specific ones, but there's enough drivers built into 8 and 8.1 to get you booted. Great question.
Okay, so I think it was first there, then there, then there, then there.
What do you do to keep a user from being able to save to the hard drive on a local machine when they've stuck that USB key into it?
So out of the box, Windows to Go prevents the user, the standard user. It will not show. So let me do a quick demo. Let me take my USB stick and plug it into a Surface device. All right, let's just see, and then I'll show you what you'd see, what the experience is. So So those of you who have a Surface device, well, you've all gone quiet. The way to get a Surface Pro to boot and see the USB stick, you have a volume button on the left-hand side. You push the volume button down, push the power on, and once you see the Surface, you take your finger off the volume. It should then see the USB drive. And once we won't see anything on screen until we get the log on screen. So we're probably a bit premature darkening it out, yeah, unless we're going to put a movie on.
A movie?
Yeah. It's very dark, this place.
Yeah, last time I talked with the marketing team, they had some concerns around copyrights. So
this is my device. This is my boy.
Cute.
Very cute. He's called Tommy.
Looks more like your little mom, but...
Thank you. His Sorry. Middle name, actually, is Lee. So it's Thomas Lee.
Bettany. Oh, really?
Yeah, wow. Interestingly. Okay, so this is me, and... You know,
so that's your Windows to Go drive right now?
This is my Windows to Go drive. It's flashing, the lights are flashing. And what I want to show you is the when I go into Windows Explorer, you can see this is my 29.4 gigabyte drive, which is my 32 gig. Thank you for that. That's cool. So notice I'm trying to move my mouse quickly, and we've probably got 40 seconds left. This is my drive. I'm going to lift it up so you can actually see what's going to happen now. This is when you start fumbling. Okay. Oh, we're back. It said, oh, keep it plugged in.
Yeah, why you remove it?
I didn't. You didn't tell me you were going to do that. That's pretty scary. I've been using this all week, you know. But can you see? It'll fall back. So the question you had before was, how do you stop? By default, it stopped. As an administrator, if I wanted to, because you're all administrators, I'm actually going to unclip it from myself because... you know, if I wanted to go into manage my computer, to disk management, you know, you've still got the drive inside the Surface. Can you see? This is your my basic. It's a 128 gig Surface. That is my basic drive. But notice it's being made offline. You know, I could make that online if I wanted to because I'm an administrator. But your standard users would not be able to.
The gentleman behind, yeah. No, yes, you. Yes, you.
Yeah, once deployed, can we force people to update these with Windows Update and Windows Defender to make sure they're up to date at all times?
So remember, this is exactly the same estate management as you would expect if it was a real live host machine. You know, you've got to treat these just like any other device in your network. So yes, you know, they'll suffer the same group policies, the same Intune management or the same system center management that you have on your estate when they tune back into the mothership each time.
Exactly. So it doesn't matter, Windows Defender and everything will be updated just like you have it on your computer. I think that's there. Yeah.
So you previously showed how you can go in and enable the disk. Is there a way to audit that so that even on our administrators we can prevent data leakage?
It's a great question. You could set up an audit on that, definitely. You know, you've got Windows auditing, and you could trigger, so you get a report or you get an email when that happens.
Yeah. So probably what you could do is, I'm sure there's an event ID for that, like a disk has been activated, set online, and you could then trigger it so that it sends you an email or a report.
And a quick follow-up, we've noticed with Windows 8, not 8.1, like Surface drivers and things like that are not preloaded on the key. So someone else mentioned earlier about drivers. We've noticed Wi-Fi drivers are not really working that well. You have to load the specific vendor driver in order to get the Wi-Fi drivers loaded.
Okay, so specifically Surface, I believe, of Generation 1. Mm. We had some discussions with the vendor, and we fixed the Wi-Fi driver issue.
So if you use Windows 8.1, that's been cured. That's all now in the image. 8, you might have some issues with Surface 1. But you know,
just like an example, you just had a Surface.
I've not updated the drivers on this workplace at all, and it's working fine. This is not my Surface.
Yeah, cool. I'm not sure. You. Does it work?
Can we get the middle mic?
Okay, everybody in the middle line over there. In the meantime,
try again. Okay,
no.
Speak loudly.
Now.
So I've got two questions about discovery. The first one is, you said, to treat it as it's a regular computer.
He speaks without his lips moving.
Who's talking?
This guy.
Ah, hey, green shirt. Hey.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Great. Session number four. I'm exhausted, but okay.
So I've got two questions, both related to discovery. The first one being, so that treat this as it's a regular computer. If someone does something that is against corporate policy, clearly you have to get the computer, the stick, and mm-hmm. audit it somehow. Is there any process around that? I mean, is it?
The question is, why would you treat it differently than a computer?
So exactly the same policies and
the same
control
thing.
You
right.
have. So yes, you've got a physical get the device back off okay. the user, but you'd have that if it was a corporate laptop. So you know whatever policies you have in place already, you know is the same. You know you can audit the device just as easy. You know.
Okay, so you don't have to.
It's exactly the same, and that you know it's exactly the
read write. I guess is the concern the read write because it's a flash drive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, and the second piece of that is, a lot of times discovery is done with a Linux device, and if you can use this to audit, to turn the local hard drive on, how does it write to that hard drive? Does it actually put an imprint and a fingerprint on that?
So,
or can you block it to...
One of the things we were going to talk about in the case studies, which you know we're doing this is much more interactive when we prefer this, is
okay.
you know the user of this, in effect, leaves no footprints.
Okay.
You know, the host machine is unaware that this has been plugged into it. Because you're not booting to the operating system. Does that make sense?
Right.
You know, so there is no audit trail on the host machine. Because you've not booted into Windows. You've not started the stack on Windows at all.
Okay, cool.
So okay, now definitely this gentleman over here.
So if you provision through your PowerShell script mm-hmm. that lays down the core, basically your core WIM, if you need to layer on other applications after that, how can you automate that? First boot up.
So you can use your corporate image, and your corporate image could include applications.
Right, but certain software you don't want to put on a corporate image, like security software,
applications. So since those Windows to Go thumb drives will be managed again centrally, right? So through any kind of infrastructure application like SCCM, you can push it through SCCM afterwards.
So there's no scripting to get it done any quicker. I mean,
I probably could write something around that.
You know, and to some extent, this time last year, there was no PowerShell scripts. You know, this is all fast moving now because we're seeing the uptake in these devices, you know, and you're going to get those scripts starting to emerge.
Yeah. Look, let's do it this way. Just follow my, which block? Follow AskPFEPlat. So TechNet, AskPFEPlat, and I will write something in a week or two.
Okay.
No, there, yes. Weird?
Yes, yes. So, you know, the price of a 64 gig device now is the same as the 32 gig 2 years ago. You know, so start thinking, actually, should we deploy 64 gig devices? That's one way. You know, it's like when you go and buy a Surface now, you're not going to be buying the entry level anymore, just because. So that's one way. But yes, you can limit, you know, through group policy, you can limit what drives are available. You can hide and hide the drives through group policy when you deploy the image. So the question was, because you know, is you know, can you trim that WIM? Well, yes, you can. You can remove components that you don't want to install on that WIM. You know, and that's general, you know, not knowledge to be able to do that, to trim it down. You're not going to save a huge amount.
Long story short, no, there's no configuration to say that folder only that size.
Yeah. Okay, we've got five more minutes. We've got a few more questions.
I think there, then there, and then there. Yes, sir.
Can you use MBAM to manage these? And how do you set a pin on these before you give it to somebody?
Yes, so MM 2013, what's the latest version?
MDOP 2013.
MDOP 2013 with MM 2.5 released this week. Supports Windows to Go, and you can have these keys in MBAM managed, and you have the same experience like Windows and MBAM plus a BitLocker.
So that allows then the user to set their own passwords and change them as well?
Correct.
But can you pre-provision a device with a PIN on it before you give
it? Yes. So one of the examples in my PowerShell script is that you can pre-provision BitLocker for it. And once MBAM agent is then on that machine through your infrastructure service, it will pick it up.
Now, if your MBAM policy has TPM enabled and your machine does not have a TPM, would that work?
Then you need to have, in MBAM, you have two sets of policies, right? One for thumb drives, one for fixed hard drives. Okay, now this side.
On a mass deployment of these things, is there any gotchas to using direct access with it? So say we have a large sales force, we want to ship these out. Are there any major pitfalls to that?
So direct access is fully supported using this. So yeah, okay. Go.
So we can roll those out.
Remember, this is a corporate. This is production environment. This is not try it and see. This is fully supported by Microsoft. So if you're using direct access and that's fully supported as well, you're good to go.
Yeah. And just to verify, piggybacking on the driver conversation, you're using custom WIM, so we could inject all the corporate drivers in, no problem.
Of course you can.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks.
There.
If the user didn't have access to your network outside of the, or access to your domain outside the network, is there a way to assign the actual user account to the way to the Windows to Go, or do they have to log in locally or log into the domain and cache your credentials and take it with them at that point?
What you can do basically, if we take the example of a PowerShell script, is so-called offline domain join. Mm-hmm. So Windows to Go supports offline domain join because guess what? Windows to Go is nothing else than Windows on a USB thumb drive. So you can use the same feature in order to do offline domain join.
So it joins the domain, but it doesn't actually log in with that user, does it?
No.
Okay. So that user would still have to somehow cache their credentials onto that OS.
Yes.
Okay.
You know, one of the things we talk about, the offline domain, when you're provisioning thousands of these drives, you probably want to disable that as part of the provision process.
Yeah. Okay, now I don't remember where to start. Here, we'll say, yes, that's true. Yes.
Okay, just as people are leaving, we're more than happy to continue with questions afterwards. If you're leaving, thank you very much for attending.
Okay.
Please complete your evaluations. There's Xboxes and prizes to be had. And we thank you for attending our session.
Lots of people.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.